Still listening to these yahoos talk about horror? Sorry for you. Well, welcome to episode 84 of the Necronomicast anyway. Enjoy, if you can.
Good evening, Clary.
I own a motel. Not too far from you. And you'd be welcome to spend the night in one of the empty rooms if you'd like.
Oh, it burns! Oh, it burns! And I'm the devil.
Okay, here we are, another episode of Necronomicast, back in the house. This is Wayne.
Zip.
Brian.
Doug.
All right, we're down here at the Tiki Bar. You guys have notes and shit out, which is great. I love this.
We're bringing the lumber today.
That's right. And you have a giant Miller High Life. What the hell? It's a thirsty 2-ouncer.
I worked hard today.
Yeah, you did. You deserve that. You're like the giantest beers ever. Your mic's harder, Doug.
Don't talk about my drink.
It's really low in comparison.
It's how you use it. It's not size.
Your eye. Fucking blood orange, man. It's for a whore.
So, last episode, we talked about horror on TV. And, I have to say, there's a couple things. One, I just did a blog. If you go to our show page, necronomicast.com, you can go to blogs. I just posted a blog about being human.
Do we have .com? Did you tell me that there's someone?
Oh, shit. That's right. Yeah. It is now necronomicast.net because it got lapsed and never mind. It just happened. And it sounds better, necronomicast.net. Yes.
More victims.
Exactly. So that's happening. So it's necronomicast.net. Go there. Go to the blogs. I posted a little thing about the end of the U.S. version of Being Human. And just kind of gave my thoughts on that. But that kind of led us in when we were talking about that last episode about horror on TV. How horror, in my opinion, some of the things that they have, especially horror on TV, some of the series that they have, they're really raising the bar. Even to the movies, because you can go see a movie and kind of be let down. It's kind of mediocre, but when you watch some of these shows, they have almost as big a budget, and they're doing better writing, better cinematography, everything. So.
It's almost like a golden age because and we'll talk about this later about Hannibal and the Hannibal Lecter series, but when Tom Harris wrote these novels. He wrote a novel, and then they try and condense this 400-page book into a 2-hour movie. But with TV, you can take it, and it's almost like a chapter is an episode. You can break it down. You can make it go for 13, 14 episodes. Just let it, like, you don't have to cut anything out. You can explore more characters, more subplots, more, you know, things that the author intended with television.
Right. Yeah. So what are some of the best horror on TV series that we're watching right now?
I'm only watching one, and it's probably not the best one. I watch Bates Motel just because.
Right.
Brian told me to check it out, and I watched it, and I liked it, you know. And I don't have cable, really, or anything past 27, so I record it at my parents' house and go out and watch it out there. And so I can't really do that for
Well, it's worth the endeavor.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're getting an A for effort.
Oh, thank you. Oh, do you know, there's 3 different times I've been out there this Christmas or this winter, and the damn DVR is like lost power or some crap. Yeah. It's been off for a week, and so nothing's recorded, and it just pisses me off. Yeah.
So Bates Motel, I mean, so that is, and most people kind of know this, and some of the horror fans, I'm sure anybody that's listening to the show knows that that's on there. So is it modern day? Is it in modern day?
It takes place in modern day. They all have phones.
Okay. Yeah, he has an iPhone. You know, Norman has an iPhone. Yeah. He's a normal, you know, red blood. Well, I don't want to say normal, but I mean, he's like the
he's a Norman.
You know, for a guy that's attracted to his mother, you know, he's the red blooded American teenager. But you know, he's pulling all kinds of tail on this show too. Have you seen?
Oh, man.
Yeah, all these up and coming actresses and models, you know, want to be on a show, and of course, you know, they have to do something with Norman to continue their storyline. But so it takes place in this town. where the mom and Norman are relocating because, you know, she had a problem with her husband, and now as we're finding out that Norman has these blackouts.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Don't listen. Norman, you know, in fact, killed his father in some blackout because he used to beat his mom. So there's a lot of mystery still, even though it's a, you know, it's a prequel to the movies, about them moving to this new community. She opens up this hotel. And there's really great subplots about the town is a sleepy little town on the West Coast. They're going to destroy the street that, or not street, but
the, yeah, like the highway that the Bates Hotel is on is still the main thoroughfare at this point, and they're talking about building the bypass.
The bypass,
which is
so they can build big box stores. I love how they say that too. Yeah. Well, we got all this money from big box stores coming in. Oh, great! Well, then you know the whole town's going to suffer. But on the other side, it's got this seedy underbelly to the town because they are notorious violent pot farmers, and there's these two families that are growing pot and selling it. So the main customers to the Bates Motel are all the people that work for the competing pot farmers. So there's a lot of mafioso going on. There's a lot of weird implied incest right now.
Yeah. That's
kind of big. And then there's their usual teenage angst of Norman.
You would feel also, you would feel uncomfortable about the incestual things, but Vera is just an amazing actress and totally hot.
She was my mom, I'd want her.
Man,
You'd have to think twice. You'd have to consider it.
She's a MILF.
Serious.
Yeah, like you said.
With the two M's. My mom I'd like to fuck. But that's terrible. Oh. That's a terrible. Oh, God. It's terrible, terrible. Only in the movies.
Right. And she is a good actress because I just found out the other day I was researching her.
Yes, yes.
And
with your pants down around your ankles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, nobody was looking.
Yeah.
And she was nominated for Best Supporting Actress Academy Award for Up in the Air with George Clooney.
Right, right. It's a great movie.
Great movie, yeah. That's where I first saw her.
Awesome hotel scenes there with George Clooney. It was great.
Yeah, so she's smoking hot. And she's all the guys in town, like the old school guys, want to get with her and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And there's the fighting and the pot wars. And there's tons of violence. I wouldn't really call it horror, but there's it's based on a classic horror movie.
Right.
I mean, but there's it's dark. It's a very dark show.
But she still has that kind of classic. It still has kind of an overall classic vibe to it, where it's kind of
the house looks exactly like the house in the movie.
They didn't
modernize it or do anything like when the what's his name did the one with Vince Vaughn. You know, they made a different house.
Gus Van Sant.
Yeah.
Remake. Yeah.
Which was still a pretty cool looking house. But this one, it actually looks exactly like. They kept it. They didn't want to.
It does. And in fact, I can't wait for some time when somebody will come home with the statue of the Cupid with the arrow that the guy falls down the stairs and gets stabbed.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to show up sometime on the TV.
But at this time, there's no motel.
Oh, no, there is.
No, she bought the motel. That's the business. Yeah, she bought the motel, and
most
and
of the
they
customers
live in the house
are are like the migrant workers that pay by the day to work in the pot farms.
That's right.
So she's making plenty of bread. She doesn't want the bypass to happen, and so she's kind of romancing the city council guys, and Norman's killing people during blackouts left and right.
Yeah.
So. And we all know how it turns out. I mean, at some point she's
going to be... Yeah, we know the ending, so...
Yeah.
At some point she's going to be propped up in the window.
Yeah.
And he's going to be talking like this, Norman.
She's still hot, though, at that point.
Yeah, there was a guy just on the last episode,
Vera's corpse would look hot.
There was a guy that was like... Oh, it was the sheriff. He was like, you know, I might need to let you know that... At night, you know, I can see right through your window up there in the house. You know?
Oh, the sheriff did say that.
Yeah, and stuff. And
is he wearing
and you see that in the, you know, in Psycho, you see the window, you know, that's
is
the window.
Is he wearing a lot of guy liner, the sheriff, do you think?
He always looks like that. He looks like that in the Dark Knight movie, too.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And I don't
that.
Know if that's a natural thing for some
And remember,
people.
The sheriff was also he wasn't Deflator Mouse. He was in the live version of The Tick. He was...
oh, yeah? I've seen him in different
things. Wow, that's going back. Right.
Yeah, it was... Oh, gosh. What did they call him? It wasn't... Because Deflator Mouse was on the animated version of The Tick, but in the live-action version of The Tick, he was the version of Deflator Mouse.
The
Batman. Fuck. I can't remember now. But, yeah, that was him. I always think of him speaking in that Spanish accent like that. So, yeah...
Yeah, but Bates Motel is great. It's and they just got picked up. You know, there's another four episodes left as we record this of the second season, And they just announced, yeah, we're
another
we're
one?
Doing more.
We're doing a third season.
Well, in
season,
fact, so. It sounds like they're gonna do a Friday the 13th, which it sounds like they're kind of based off of the success of this.
That just got announced this
right?
week.
That we can right.
It's been
into
rumored
this,
for so it's been rumored for a while, but
series.
They're thinking about
like series. A reboot. But of,
wasn't there
of
a Friday the 13th series in the 80s?
There was,
but it wasn't really. It was like a creep show, kind
like
of
a
thing.
Looks like a pawn shop
right.
because everybody like every week they went off to go find the haunted artifact from the pawn shop that got you know like oh grandma's you know alarm clock got sold and now it's haunting the family. We got to go track it down. I mean that was
that was their version of Friday the 13th.
Yeah, so now this new version of the Friday the 13th show, it's going to, they say, and I just read about it, but they're saying that it's going to deal with the residents of Crystal Lake as they react to a killer returning, and then there's Jason and his mom's story told through a series of flashbacks. So hopefully they talk about his dad mm-hmm. at some point, because that was rumored to come into play around part 6 of the movie series.
Really?
So
yeah, it sounded like they kind of wanted to go at an angle like Bates Motel, mm-hmm. you know, young Jason and his mom.
Any of the same producers or writers or anything crossing over for that or what?
Not for Bates Motel, but there is a producer. It's being produced by Horror Inc., which if you go back and watch some of the older movies, I don't know all the names, but they produce some of the ones like 4 and maybe 5, but definitely 6. And along with that, there's a guy named Daniel or Daryl Ferens, and he produced the recent huge Friday the 13th documentaries. His name is Jason, and also the Camp Crystal Lake Memories, which was like 7 hours long.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Camp Crystal Memories, because when we interviewed Adrienne King, she was talking about...
She was talking about that, right?
That, yeah. And about how she had all these photos that she took and all this memorabilia that
you
she
have
did.
That? You have it, don't you?
So,
or is it...
That was part... They're going to be part of that documentary.
Right. So the guy that produced that, and that. He also wrote one of the Halloween movies, like number 5 or 6. He's involved somehow to bring that to life. So, yeah, that's coming up. Should be around...
Which channel is that on?
No network announced. They just announced that they're going to do it.
They're all going to do it and then see if they can sell it.
So it'll probably never come out. I don't know.
So what other...
It's a good idea.
The DVD.
What other horror on TV is significant? Like I said, Being Human, they just wrapped up the series, which is great. I actually really enjoyed Being Human, the UK version. So we started watching that. Watched up to the third season, then the third season just jumped shark. It was awful because all the actors... You know, there's only, I guess you can only have a contract for a certain amount of time, and then you're like, well, we're going to do these movies and stuff. Yeah. So then it went into the future. It was really great, crappy. So we stopped watching it there, but we were watching at the same time, we're watching the back episodes of the U.S. version. And really, it was one of those things where the U.S. version was as good as the U.K. version. And it took different, really, a lot of liberties, and it did its own thing, but you loved it. Nonetheless, and it was they wrapped it up. They actually stopped the whole series. They concluded it, wrapped up fairly nicely. If you want to hear, you know, see more about or read more about that, that's what I put on the blog. But yeah, it was you know, the vampire, the werewolf, the ghost, and they really did some really, they kind of like went way out there for a while, but came back. But there was tons of blood, tons of, you know, really, really good story writing, and some, you know, there's always some, you know, hot chick sex, killing, I mean, blood everywhere, like maniacally massacred people.
And where did this air?
This was on, actually, Sci-Fi. This was
sci-fi. Okay,
thing.
Great.
So, yeah, it was one of those things where you're like, oh, yeah, that's all right. Other horror, American Horror Story, again, was one I think that is noted up there as far as horror goes.
Yeah, I watched.
You watched? Did you ever get through the first season?
The first season, very far with that one.
Second season, pretty crazy.
Now that was the one that was Asylum.
Yeah,
I watched a lot of Asylum.
Third season was the Coven. Fourth,
Coven.
The Coven.
American movie.
Sounds like oven. That's not going to work.
That's right. It's got those
fourth
two dots.
Fourth
season's like
supposed to be about what, a circus kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
Kind of crazy ass class. And the thing is, and we've talked about this before with that particular one. Again, really well done, really well written, really brutal. I mean, brutal. I mean, American Horror Story got either really psychotic or really brutal, but it was pretty brutal. And yeah. when you start watching Coven, the beginning of that was just, it's pretty fucking brutal. So their next one, again, it's the same actors.
Is Jessica Tandy back?
Yep. It's all the same actors.
Or not Jessica Tandy.
It's all...
Jessica Lange?
Jessica Lange, yeah. Sorry. It's all the same actors. Oh. It's something they do in theater, too, so it's a completely different story. Just all the same actors playing different parts.
Nice.
Other horror, what do you think?
Bates Motel, that's all I got. What about Hannibal? He, Brian loves
Hannibal. Yeah, you were talking about Hannibal last.
I'm a cheerleader. I've got the pom-poms out for Hannibal. And I was always a big Thomas Harris, you know, book fan. Red Dragon, Silence of the Lambs, obviously, mm-hmm. and then Hannibal. The TV show takes place before Red Dragon, so you actually get to see Hannibal Lecter, who's played by Mads Mikkelsen. And if you saw Casino Royale, the Bond film, he's like one of the bad guys in that. So he's very competent as Lecter, not as campy as he was portrayed later.
Right,
he's a little bit more like. Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then there's Hugh Dancy, who plays Will Graham, and he was the Edward Norton character from Red Dragon. So it's... Lecter is actively being the Chesapeake Ripper in Baltimore, at the same time having his psychiatry practice. And Will Graham and Jack Crawford, who's played by Lawrence Fishburne, are investigating these crimes. Will Graham is the guy that goes to the crime scene. He sees all the gore, the mayhem, everything, the massacre that's happened, and then he kind of goes into his trance and kind of figures out what's going on, trying to figure out. So every episode is Hannibal Lecter usually killing somebody, and they're kind of trying to figure out who the Chesapeake Ripper is, but then there's also a serial killer working almost every episode at the same time. So they're investigating these crimes. Hey, Dr. Lecter, you're a psychiatrist. What do you think?
Yeah,
you know,
and he's like, what's wrong?
Well, why don't you come over for dinner? And so, and there's for an NBC show, the gore is amazing. I can't believe it.
Yeah, you were saying it. So this is on NBC.
NBC, 9 o'clock Central Time on Fridays. And there's all kinds of gore. There's the gore, of course, of the murders and the murders. If you remember in Silence of the Lambs, when the one cop was killed, you know, Lecter steals the guy's face.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy is like splayed out over the jail. Yeah. There's tons of display killings, and my wife much refuses to watch it. So I'm like down in the basement watching it by myself. Mm-hmm. So there's that, and then at the same time, like, you know, it'll show somebody that you know is going to get killed, and then it'll cut. And Lecter is like going through his recipe cards, and he'll pull out something for like a liver dish, and then you'll see like a liver, and you assume it's human, and then he'll cut it up or grind it, and then he'll roll it in flour, and saute it, and then he has the FBI guys over for dinner as they discuss the case. Yeah, it's like these meals that are like befit the White House. It's, you know,
it's like Bizarre Foods, only
it's like Chopped. It's like, yeah. Chopped. And your ingredients are a human liver, fava beans,
chocolate. And as can take.
But the acting's great, the stories are great, the gore is incredible. And they did something last week that made me laugh. If you go through the whole show, first season, and we're halfway through the second season, Hannibal Lecter is suspected of doing the crimes, and they somewhat clear him of them. And so to kind of make up to the FBI guys, they have him over for dinner. Or he has them over for dinner, and he has fish, because you can't fake fish, right?
Yeah.
But the show shows him, like, slicing the head of the fish, pulling the guts out through the gills, and then, like, frying it and cooking it. So you still get that kind of visceral, kind of gore reaction of
Well, and somebody, some special effects guy had to actually make that happen. You know?
Right.
Well,
he's really pulling the guts out of the fish, and it's like, well, it's a fish. It's not a human being, but it's like, ew. it's still gross.
This is what I would do to you guys if I, you know.
So, yeah, Hannibal, if you haven't been watching it, ladies and gents, it's really good, and it's very true to the Thomas Harris novel, so I really recommend it. I think it's great, and you know, they might not have it for a third season because, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty subversive, but...
If I would have my kids on, they would have said, Vampire Diaries. They've been watching lots of Vampire Diaries lately.
Is that on Nick?
No, I don't know. No, I don't even know what it's on. Nope. No, but I was thinking other things too. Like there's Lost Girl, there's Bitten, there is I have not. Yeah, Walking Dead. Well, you know, we're in the middle of the break right now. Yeah, we're in the middle of the break. We're going to do some Walking Dead episodes, I think, which would be cool. Salem is just recently come on. Yeah, and that is on...
It's on Sundays on whatever 26 is. WGN?
Is it WGN? Yeah. Yeah.
The Chicago stage.
Because I thought that was weird because I caught the first episode, I caught maybe 15 minutes in, and it was the priest doing a whore from behind, and it was like HBO full on, just nailing her from behind. And then wow. There were some like really almost without the nipple but breast scene, like total nudity, and just it was pretty graphic. So it seems like all these networks are like trying to say, hey, we're gonna get graphic too after 9 o'clock. You know, the rule, you know, all the gloves are off.
Well, they're seeing all the money that Walking Dead is making.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not just advertisers, but it's DVD sales and all that kind of
yeah.
thing.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So Salem, is it modern day?
No. It is back in the day. Yeah. It is back in the colonial days. It's back in Salem. But the witches are like real, like demonic witches. There's things going on. They're controlling Salem. They're doing this, and things are happening, and there's hell on earth, and there's these crazy psychotic scenes with the lizards with their eyes sewn shut, and
so it's not boring.
Getting a frog shoved down his throat, you know, and there's spells and crazy, and guy getting crushed, and oh yeah, it was just crazy. And I tried to watch the second episode the other night, and I was too tired. I fell asleep. I missed the earlier version. So I'll watch it. I'll watch it at 10:30 or 11 o'clock when it came out. I'm like,
is there any kind of...
It is freaky as fuck, though. I mean, really, they're out. It is the most... It is really freaky. Talk about witches in Salem going ape shit. This has it. This is, so far, it's got it. And it's really a head trip and pretty creepy. I mean, people biting their fingers off and like crazy witches and shit.
Is there any kind of political stuff going on like when Arthur Miller did The Crucible? Or is it just more straight on witches and...
Well, it's all part of the town. They are controlling the town, whereas they're hanging these people that really aren't witches. You know, but the witches are actually controlling what's happening.
Oh, that's cool.
People in charge are doing this, and so you're like, oh my god, they're in charge. How you can do this? So, but the effects are great. The way they shoot it is really cool, and it seems like there's going to be a lot of twists and turns that go in it. So I think so far Salem, I'm giving a thumbs up on at least checking out this first season. Now, nice. So if you're down with that, otherwise, you know, everything else horror on TV.
What do you got, Zip? You're quiet tonight.
Nothing. Yeah. I've been watching Clone Wars. Just started the second season.
Oh, really? On our sci-fi episode.
Yeah. Right on.
And I watched The Graduate.
Yeah, exactly.
Which made me angry.
Made him angry. He didn't like some of the people. They're pissing him off.
The Graduate. But Benjamin Braddock, I want to reach in and throttle that guy.
Yeah.
If you throttle him, will there be lots of blood and gore?
Yeah. Certainly.
Maybe you could remake The Graduate and reboot it with as a horror movie.
As a horror movie. Well, you know, we're talking about
horror in there.
Talking about horror on TV now, though. I mean, we really didn't have. I mean, did we have that much when we were younger? I mean, back in the 80s,
like,
whatever. I mean,
like the Crypt Keeper. What was
right.
it?
Oh,
Tales from the Crypt on HBO mm-hmm.
and
Elvira. 15th, Elvira, Dark, you know, and all that.
You know, there was that Dr. horrible
Sanguinary and Creature, well, yeah, but that yeah, was just yeah. like old movies.
Those are just movies. Yeah,
there was that really bad.
Well, there was a Friday the 13th. Like you,
the Freddy's Nightmares. That was pretty bad.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but in the 80s, yeah, it was
cool. In
terrible
the 80s,
horror.
But now
yeah,
you look back
on it. But horror on TV, like vintage horror on TV.
Dark Shadows.
Scooby Doo. What?
Well, that Remember was yeah, that was
yeah. and Barnabas yeah. Collins, that whole vampire
oh,
thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, but oh yeah, Scooby Doo before Shag, before Scrappy,
before Scrappy, man. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Scrappy.
Fuck Scrappy.
Fuck that. Guy. Yeah, I was looking at
like that dog.
I want to see the Scooby Doo porn parody. I was looking at that online. That looked pretty good.
The porn parody.
There's a porn parody.
Scooby Doo.
Velma looked pretty hot.
Was Velma hotter than Daphne?
She was more my type.
Everybody wants to do Daphne.
Big black glasses.
Yeah. Oh, Daphne was too desperate. She's just, you know.
Notice me. Give me attention.
That's right. Velma was, you know, she did her own thing, man.
Drop her glasses and bend over, try to find them.
That's always, right, Velma. She's always dropping her glasses.
Oh, Velma.
She was employed. She knew what she was doing.
Although Velma cosplay right now is really hot, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Hot Velma.
Can you dial some of that up on the computer?
I probably can. Yes, we're going to do that too after we check out Daniel Harris. Yeah, we did that earlier. So, yeah, lots of great horror on TV. And I guess the commentary that we want to kind of put out with this podcast is that they're really, like, if you have a whole series behind you, you really can actually put together something that is lasting and quality. They're doing that just from even shorts, even from the one with McConaughey. Wasn't horror, but it was more
True Detective.
True Detective, things like that.
Oh,
they're,
yeah,
capturing an audience by putting together great cinematography, gritty and dirty effects, and really putting on you know, a story that everybody wants to tune into. Every week.
Yeah, we are totally.
Which is raising the bar for movies, man. I mean, come on with the movies. Let's
enough now with the movies.
Come on with the movies. Let's do it.
American entertainment is also shifting more toward more of a streaming, more of online content, more television, you know, entertainment at home. So I think television shows are really playing into that. There's so many good television shows nowadays that, you know, I mean, nothing's going to replace going to a theater and seeing something on a darkened screen, you know, but. I think we are in a golden age, and so horror is just kind of stepping up to that.
I think horror TV right now is at probably its peak. Not I wouldn't say at its peak, but this is really the bar. Mm-hmm. In this, between this year and last year, and maybe the year before, that is where horror on TV has really, and it's bled over into the sci-fi with Game of Thrones and with any of the HBO stuff and True Blood. Again, True Blood ending its series. Always still sexy as hell, bloody as hell. Man, you still, no matter what, you're still going to tune in to True Blood. No, I don't really like Oh, yeah, I'm going to watch that. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. You're still going to turn into True Blood.
I've never seen this. No.
Really? No. You have never seen True Blood. Okay. Doug has not seen it, but he would love it. You guys would love it.
Is Anna Paquin in it?
Yes.
Oh.
Anna Paquin gets nailed a lot by vampires. All right. I'm just going to put it that way.
Well, who doesn't love that?
And that sounds wholesome.
Yes. It's very naked, very, very bloody, and all that. And they kind of, you know, spearheaded some of that stuff. True Blood did kind of spearhead. You know, HBO has always been that way, but. When it comes down to horror, they kind of like said, "All right, yeah, we're doing it." So what's next? You know, what's next on the horror scene for whether it's cable or television? To me, I thought that HBO and True Blood kind of spearheaded and opened up the genre, so that apparently IFC, WGN, Sci-Fi can actually take a more gritty approach to story, take more risks, because they would have thought, "Oh, well, we can't do that, even if it's shows at 8 or 9 o'clock." They're taking more risks now.
Well, yeah, because you're probably, you know, they're always worried about sponsors. You know, are we going to get sponsored for this or that?
They're jumping all over that shit now.
Because the ratings are up, yeah.
Right, absolutely. And they're good. They're good. I mean, it helps with the other things, you know, what are not really horror-related, but still as graphic. Even things like Hell on Wheels, Boardwalk Empire, Mob City, those kind of things that are network, but still very gritty.
Ooh, we didn't mention Dexter.
No, we didn't. Yeah, right.
A lot of guys are telling me how bad and dumb I am that I haven't been like immersed in Dexter.
No, I haven't either, to be honest. And they're going to yell at us for not being all Dexter.
You guys are fakers.
Fakers, you posers.
I don't know what half these shows are. Yeah. I like my horror anyway.
I like my horror and I like the way I like it.
I do.
I haven't seen Dexter or Breaking Bad, all those things, in a or Sons of Anarchy. So, I don't know. Man. I have only so much to give.
Me,
so
it's
much
me.
Time.
I got one show, and I'm happy.
I stick into it. I need to sleep. I need to go to the bathroom. I can't be glued to the set all the time.
Come on, I got other genres I got to talk about.
I wonder when I see those commercials for like this thing. we'll give you a DVR that records six shows at the same time. I'm like, who the fuck could possibly need that? I guess people do.
We have time to watch that show.
We can watch Dexter. We can come in for a weekend and just fucking Netflix that and get pizza and lose our jobs, get the power shut off, do the whole Portlandia thing. Like, oh my God.
Well, Jim was even saying that he got it at the library. Like, he just read it at the library, you know, for free and just, you know, binged, you know, watching a serial killer, you know. Man. And what better way to spend a weekend, huh?
Really? There's no better, yeah. Full of blood, boobs, and yeah.
Good times.
That would be it. And popcorn. So, yeah. So, Doug, you brought more notes. Let's, we're going to.
Well, do we want to do that?
Yeah, we still have time. Yeah, we have time left. It's
quite a little bit different.
We're going to switch. Yeah, we definitely do have some time. We're going to switch over from horror on TV to, we were talking about.
This is my recommendation.
Yeah, from last episode.
Of a movie. And no, Brian has seen it at my recommendation.
Oh, certainly. I'll be right back, everybody.
He's got to get liquored up.
He's got 32 ounces of.
Cheap domestic beer.
It's just 32 ounces of life.
I don't know what you got in that bottle that you're pouring. And now Doug's quality.
You talked about this movie.
Yeah, this is a movie that what I recommend to people if they want to. If not a lot of people know about this movie. You guys don't know about it, but
haven't seen it.
Brian didn't know about it until I told him about it. It's The Changeling.
Oh,
right? Because you're looking at me, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, so now you can help me along with this. And so I rewatched it on Friday I wanted to make a list of all the different, because that movie has like everything kind of for a haunted, it's a haunted house movie is what it is. It's from 1980 and it starts George C. Scott and he's a composer. He just lost his wife and daughter in a car accident.
Yeah, and you get to see it.
In the first scene, yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's not gory. It's nothing, you know, but it's sad.
It hits the heart, though, if you have a wife and daughter. Like,
What year did it come out? Do we know what year it came out?
1980. We looked it up. Yeah, 1980. And he ends up renting this old house, you know, from the Historical Preservation Society or whatever.
And they're all excited to have this big-time composer come in. And so he's mourning the loss of his whole life. And so he's in this big old sad haunted house writing sad piano pieces.
Yeah, trying to write, you know. Yeah, he's got, the music room and stuff like that. But something else is still in the house. Something's there. Wants to communicate with him. So it's your typical, you know, it's a ghost story, you know. But it has all the stuff that you want in a good ghost story. And it doesn't have, and one thing it doesn't have, there's not one part where there's like an actual, like an apparition or something like that.
Oh, really?
I think. It's kind of hard to say. There's a part where you're not sure if he's actually seen the boy in the.
Yeah. There's no, it's one of those horror films where there's no cheap scare. No.
Yeah, but there's no, like, all of a sudden turns and, yeah, there's an actual, you know, CGI demon crouched up on top of the
dresser. Or, like,
dresser.
He opens up the door and the cat jumps out. There's no cheap scare.
Oh, none of that either. None of that bullshit. Yeah.
It's
lots of doors shut.
A lot of dread. It's a heavy movie.
I have that in here. Dreadful Staircase.
It is notes.
Dreadful Staircase is in the list, okay? And it's shot from all angles. This list is great. Like, it's actually, it's two legal pages full.
Yeah, you hand wrote this shit out.
I did. I was having a little rum I was doing it, and it gets sloppier as it goes to the back. You can start to see.
It's like a horror movie writing its pages.
Well, that's what it is, because it was supposed to just be a list, but then it starts to become a running commentary or list of what I'm seeing and what is happening.
Okay, nice. Run through it.
Do you want me to go through
it? Yeah, go through it. Go through it.
But see, and so some things will be repeated. Some of them is just like George C. Scott.
We're gonna preface this with Doug was drinking lots of rum while he was writing this, watching the movie.
100 or 80 proof?
Sailor Jerry. So it's a little bit more than normal.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would proof that. Is that 80?
Well, it's hip.
Yeah.
It's
new
sure.
It worked.
We're not a sponsor, but they should be.
Yeah. First, let me grab the ones that are important for the list.
Yeah, do it.
Maybe then I'll run through it, and then we can put that as like a bonus after the episode or something like that. Yeah. But the important thing is, like, okay, we got the Dreadful Staircase, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about that. We've got Giant Banging and Moans.
Mm.
And Phantom Piano Playing. Let's see here.
This is all in the trailer, too, if you just want to go back and watch the trailer.
You can also watch the trailer. We've got an eerie music box that plays on its own. A Secret Room. hidden, you know, been boarded up. That's always
you
key.
Need the secret.
The
Dahmer room.
Yeah, secret room. Or kind of like Rosemary's Baby has the whole, the thing's been pressed up against the, you can tell that there's something, they don't want to go through there. Secret room's key. There's a seance scene. A really good seance scene, which involves EVPs. Probably, as far as I know, the first EVPs that are involved in a movie that I've seen. There's EVPs.
Really?
He records the seance, and then he's listening back to it, and he can hear, you know,
help me.
Yeah,
oh no,
it's totally
help
creepy.
Me.
Or whatever. And it's I got this on here too. It's a reel-to-reel tape recorder. I put that down because that's spookier.
Yeah, digital.
You can see it.
Old school. That's like old school ghost hunting.
There's no recorders.
We got automatic riding. Really creepy, trance medium.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know what that is.
Pencil thing.
It's kind of, you're riding with your non-dominant hand, whatever the spirit
scribbling
kind of. Yeah.
And the guy's just like keeps replacing the paper, and he would read it out and says, help, help. And she's just, help, help. It's really good. Oh yeah, what's on that side? We got a lot of George C. Scott fainting. I don't know. We got a creepy child's wheelchair. That actually chases someone at some point on its own downstairs. Okay. We have a well that has wells are good. The ring.
Oh yeah. Oh.
This is a well that has been covered up, and a house has been built over the well.
Oh shit!
And inside
like
the
cabin
well,
of
a dead
the ring. Yeah.
Yeah, and there is a boy. Somebody was killed in this well. Obviously, yeah. There you go. That's cool. We've got.
Oh yes.
So that's a pretty good list already for just a good old fashioned.
It's got everything.
Yeah, it's got everything for a haunted house thing. We got. Then we got fire. We got, what does it say? George C. Scott gets badass. This is where it's
and
a little
he's an old
sloppy
man at the time too. Yeah. So it's like he's not your typical 80s hero.
Oh no, yeah, definitely.
Gets badass.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Well,
yes. Oh yeah, he's pretty badass there. And he was in Strangelove, right? That was him in Strangelove, right? He's badass in that part, right?
Well, he was in Exorcist 3 too. But,
I didn't see that one. But
it was much better.
Yeah.
So I recommend this. If you want a spooky, classic horror haunted house movie, watch this. I'll let you guys borrow it.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay. You can borrow mine on Sunday.
There we go.
Doug recommended it. We watched it, and then I went to Amazon. Mm-hmm. I bought it. I'm like...
Really?
Yeah. One of the things I do every... October is I try and watch a scary movie every night for those 31 days, and so half of them are ones that I own. Then I always try and go out and explore something new and scary. I like the old favorites, the comfort of the shoe.
Maybe we should make a pact for this October that all of us, all four of us, watch
a necropact
31 scary movies, and whether it's TV or DVD, whatever, or Netflix, whatever. Yeah.
All home movies from high school.
We got to have something
birthday.
Scary for 31 days.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool? See if we can do it.
I try and do it, and of course, something comes in something truly scary, like an 8-year-old throwing up. But.
Oh, sure, but you got your iPhone, or you got your phone on Netflix. I got to watch at least 15 minutes of The Exorcist just to make sure we're fine. I made a pact. It's a blood pact. Right, we can do a blood pack if we weren't scared of pricking ourselves.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm getting a different podcast.
You're on the Necronomicast, which means it all is sealed in blood at some point. So, either way, when it comes down, we're going to have to do some haunted houses. So next episode, what do you want to do? We just did horror on television. Next episode, what are you guys thinking? What does the audience want to hear? What do you think?
No, the audience should write us and let us know.
Like eight. Well, again, we talk a lot about 80s movies. Do
we did.
Want to do our favorite 80s.
I got one I got one that I would recommend for that I could rewatch and talk about.
Talk about 80s stuff? Because, 80s
horror.
Yeah, 80s horror kind
whatever
of
whatever you think, yeah. Like
sure. We'll throw some up on our Facebook site and kind of get some recommendations maybe from some fans.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
To
it'd
talk
be great
about.
To have fans if there's some out
and
there.
And then if they put out, hey, go watch this or watch this. And, because somebody said you didn't see Reanimator or anything like that.
I haven't seen Reanimator either.
Yeah, he's got to see. We got to zip to watch Reanimator.
Yeah, I want to see
the severed head scene.
Yes. Oh, great. So maybe we can do that kind of thing. And then we'll bring some tidbits and stuff from the movies, and you know, things that you didn't may not have known from some of these 80s movies. And
there might be some breaking news,
right? Or some of the actors that went on to do things that you didn't know they were in. Again, you know, you can always say that with like Leprechaun or something like that. You know,
very good.
So there's a lot of old 80s horror movies that have a ton of actors that have gone on to do great things, yeah. And they don't want to talk about what they did back in the 80s.
Yeah, like McConaughey, we just mentioned.
Yeah.
I was thinking, Chainsaw 5? Three.
Yeah.
With Rosette.
Is it 3? I thought it was even a higher number than that. And it, like, she's got the freaking remote controls, and it's controlling his leg.
Yeah, that was totally forgettable, but rewatchable. I'll have to watch it.
Right. Oh, yeah. All right, so next episode, 80s horror.
80s horror.
We're going to do that. We're going to post it on our Facebook page. We're going to put it out there for you guys. If anything you want us to talk about 80s, because I think that's going to be a big conversation.
Shoot us an idea. Yeah. We'll watch it. We'll talk about it.
That's right. All right, so until next time. Stay bloody. This is Wayne.
Zip. This is Brian.
Bye-bye. Stop.
We'll see you on the Necronomicast.
You've been listening to the Necronomicast, a weekly podcast produced by Wayne Brecky, part of the Free Life Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Doug's Changeling List.
All right. This is what you'll get. Scary Old Mansion. Phantom piano playing, doors opening on their own, dreadful staircase, George C. Scott, reel-to-reel tape recorder, caretaker who doesn't know shit, phantom running water sound, dreadful staircase, phantom child voice, dreadful staircase, secret room hidden behind a closet, giant banging, eerie music box, creepy child's wheelchair, George C. Scott! Creepy cemetery scene, ball bouncing downstairs on its own, a wet ball bouncing down the stairs on its own, more George C. Scott, a seance scene, automatic writing, George C. Scott, dreadful staircase, wobbly seance cone, shattered glass, EVP recordings, dreadful staircase in flashback, George C. Scott fainting, creepy child's wheelchair threatening, old well buried under a house, George C. Scott talking mystery bullshit, phantom boy coming up through the floor, zombie trance girl, bones buried in a well, old metal found in the well, a big mystery, many multiple slamming doors, George C. Scott yelling, senator tries to bribe George C. Scott, thunder rumbles, door opens on its own, dreadful staircase, bitch lured into the attic room, mini wheelchair attack, down the dreadful staircase, chandeliers getting violent, George C. Scott getting badass, violent wind fights back, dreadful staircase, George C. Scott hangs then falls from the dreadful staircase, giant fire. Old man ponders his metal. Picture frame shakes. There it is. Old man walks up the dreadful staircase. Chandelier commits suicide. Understood banging. And the music box plays. And credits.
Roll credits. Fade to black.
Good job.
I think this might have to be something.